No matter where you are, it's Texas Standard Time on this 15th day of May, 2019. I'm David Brown. Great to have you with us, and we hope your Wednesday has been a good one so far. Last night, one of the last things I did before I went to bed was check the New York Times just to make sure I hadn't misread the story. The Alabama legislature, debating into Tuesday night, passed a bill that, if signed by Alabama's governor, essentially criminalizes abortion in that state, including in cases of rape and incest. Now, if you're thinking, didn't the U.S. Supreme Court rule that abortion is a right under the U.S. Constitution in 1973, you know, Roe versus Wade? You'd be correct. Some subsequent Supreme Court cases have certainly limited that holding, giving states the power to restrict abortion, but not since 1973. Has any state ever gone quite as far as Alabama lawmakers have? On its face, it is an audacious challenge to the nation's highest court, an invitation to strike down Alabama's law or strike down Roe versus Wade. There's a reason courts are reluctant to accept such bold invitations. It's a judicial principle with its own Latin name, stare decisis. The literal translation is to stand on the decisions. But as any lawyer will tell you, what it means is that the law honors precedent and tends to uphold past decisions because, well, it's good for the law itself. Stare decisis helps judges demonstrate they are acting in line with established principle, not political whim. But as such, it is a principle that favors the past. Assuming this Alabama move does lead to a Supreme Court challenge, the irony here, of course, is that a legal concept as gray and conservative as stare decisis may yet prove to be a powerful ally to those who wish to preserve the politically liberal position on abortion rights. Or it will lead to a rather unusual spectacle of conservative justices having to explain why not. Lynn Rambo is a law professor at Texas A&M University School of Law in Fort Worth. Professor Rambo, welcome back to the Texas Standard.
Thank you, David. Glad to be here.
What do you make of Alabama's potential new law when it comes to the courts? I have to ask you that up front.
Well, it's certainly sort of stunning. There's not really any question that they're teeing it up to get to the Supreme Court to hope for overruling of Roe versus Wade. And I might add to your opening, Planned Parenthood versus Casey, which was in 1992 and reaffirmed Roe.
Meanwhile, the court's already grappling with a case involving abortion access in Texas. There's an effort by Texas to block Medicaid funding for Planned Parenthood clinics in the state. Arguments yesterday before the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. This is, I guess, Professor, the latest chapter in a story that really kind of started in a way from these secretly recorded videos that were released by anti-abortion activists back in 2015. You remember?
Yes, definitely. That's at the heart of this case and several others. Some anti-abortion activists went undercover and visited Planned Parenthood Gulf Coast in Houston and asked some questions about procuring fetal tissue in connection with research.
This was carefully edited footage, and a lot of people undermined the authenticity of the narrative, at least as it was presented publicly. But this did become a kind of cause for Governor Abbott and other conservatives.
Yes, it did. And it caused any number of investigations by the FBI, by the state, and so forth that ended with nothing with respect to Planned Parenthood, but actual indictment of the individuals who faked who they were.
But how did this become an issue of Texas trying to block Medicaid funding for Planned Parenthood? Basically, Texas is asserting that something illegal happened here or that they did not want Medicaid dollars to go to support something they found to be pernicious?
Yes. Very shortly after the videos came out, the inspector general decided to issue a notice of termination to Planned Parenthood and all its affiliates in Texas. And he relied on the video. And the charge from it was not criminal activity, but it was essentially that Planned Parenthood Gulf Coast had acted in a medically unethical manner by virtue of some statements that were made in the video by the research director.
So what is it that the Fifth Court, Circuit Court of Appeals is being asked to decide here?
When the inspector general issued the notice of termination, Planned Parenthood immediately went into federal district court to prevent the termination of their provider agreement under Medicaid. The state argues that Planned Parenthood should be limited to agency deliberations, to going back to the agency and trying to get the decision reversed there rather than being able to go into district court and challenge the inspector general's position. And that would make a very, very big difference because if they're limited to going through the agency, they can be shut down from providing Medicaid services in the meantime.
What's your sense of where the Fifth Circuit is on this question?
It seemed pretty obvious to me from the argument that many of the judges are not prepared to allow suits in federal district court to challenge these state decisions. I think what's going to happen here is that this is ultimately going to make it to the Supreme Court. There was a decision out of the Fifth Circuit, the Gee decision, which is part of how this has gotten to the full Fifth Circuit, that the Supreme Court denied certiorari on in December. But I think after this case, if another case comes out that goes into conflict with the other circuits, the case for the Supreme Court accepting, you know, granting certiorari and hearing the issue becomes much more possible.
Classic circuit split. Supreme Court wanted to decide the matter. Lynn Rambo is a professor of law at Texas A&M University. Lynn, thanks so much for taking a few minutes out to talk with us on The Standard.
I appreciate it.